In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The fathers often talk about the importance of Scripture. Today is the commemoration of the fathers of the first six ecumenical councils, and I had in mind to preach on the first Old Testament reading, which we read on the Sundays of the Holy Fathers, which is from Genesis chapter 14. But when I went to read the homilies of St. John Chrysostom on that passage, I was struck by the fact that he had two sermons in one. St. John Chrysostom, with some regularity, when you read his homilies, reminds us people of the importance of reading scriptures. And there are other homilies I've read before where he spends most of the time talking about the importance of that, but they're usually in the context of passages that you might expect that, because the meaning of the passage relates to the reading of scriptures. But in this case, he was just sort of giving his usual reminder, but for whatever reason, he went into a whole sermon on the importance of Scripture. And I'm not going to read the entire sermon to you, but I'll read some excerpts from it, and then otherwise just try to summarize it as best as I can. But he begins with the words, "The reading of the Holy Scriptures, dearly beloved, is a great blessing. This it is that arouses the soul to an appreciation of wisdom. This directs the mind to love. This brings the man to a thankful attitude. This prevents our getting excited over earthly reality. This brings our thinking to rest in the world beyond and ourselves to do everything with a view to reward from the Lord and to deal with the trials of virtue with great readiness. From this source, you see, you can gain a precise understanding of the providence of God's prompt retribution, the fortitude of good people, the Lord's goodness, and the greatness of his rewards. From this source, you can be stirred to ardent imitation of noble men's good sense and not fading under the struggles of virtue, but rather maintaining hope in God's promises before their realization. Hence, I beseech you, let us practice the reading of Holy Scripture with great zeal." And then he goes on to say that it's not possible for someone who studies the Scriptures with a spirit of zeal and a fervent desire, it's not possible that they will fail to benefit from the reading of Scripture. And he says that if you have difficulty understanding the Scriptures and if there is no human teacher available, the Lord himself will come and will instruct us, provided that we contribute what is in our own power and collect our thoughts, concentrate, and read with great devotion and attention. And then he goes on to talk about the Ethiopian eunuch as an example of this. We read about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. "And he was the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He was a foreigner, but he was evidently a God-fearer, because we're told that he had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. And if he had been a convert already, we probably would have been told that. But there was no mention of that. But he was on his way back to Ethiopia, and he was riding in his chariot. And as he was riding in his chariot, he was reading the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. But as he was reading, he was having difficulty reading it. But he was continuing to struggle with this passage. And what St. John Chrysostom points out was he didn't neglect the opportunity to read the Scriptures even while riding in a bouncing chariot on an ancient road. And he says, "Let this be heeded by those who don't even deign to do it at home, but rather think reading the Scriptures to be a waste of time, claiming as an excuse living with a wife, conscription in military service, caring for children, attending to domestics, and looking after other concerns. They don't think it necessary for them to show any interest in the reading of Holy Scriptures." And we could add a couple of excuses that they had back then that we don't now. One of them is that it was very expensive to get even a portion of the Scriptures. It was like buying a car. And to get an entire copy of the entire Scriptures would have been more like buying a house. And so for the average person to have done it would have been done with great difficulty. And yet St. John Chrysostom repeatedly in his homilies encourages people to do that. But we have no such excuse, because people will give you a copy of the Bible for free. You can download an app on your iPhone or your Android that has not only just a translation of the Bible, but multiple translations, even in practically every language that's a major language. And you can listen to it being read to you, and you don't even have to pay a dime for the privilege of downloading an app like that on your phone. You can listen to the Bible when you're driving on your stereo system in your car. You can listen to it at home. you have all these opportunities to read it, which these people back in those days didn't have, but St. John Chrysostom didn't think they had any excuse, so what do you think that he would say to us? And then he talks about all the excuses that the Ethiopian eunuch had. Number one, he was a foreigner, and he was reading a text that was very foreign to him. He didn't grow up having the scriptures read to him, and so he wasn't familiar with the content already. And, of course, it was very difficult to read while traveling in a chariot. We find it difficult to read in a moving car that has suspension and is driving on a smooth road. Just imagine trying to read while you're riding in a chariot. And he had all the distractions in life of having a high position. He had great wealth. He was a person that had much entrusted to him, had a reputation, and so many concerns that could have occupied his mind. And also, he had the excuse of trying to read the text and not understanding it. And of course, that's an excuse that many of us will cite, is I tried to read the Bible, and I couldn't understand it. But what St. John Chrysostom says is that his desire and great enthusiasm made light of all these problems, and so gave himself to reading without muttering the words many people mutter these days. I don't understand the contents. I can't grasp the full sense of the words. Why should I go to all the trouble, all to no purpose, by reading without having someone guiding me? He believed that if he put forth the effort that lay within his power, that his efforts would not be overlooked by God, but that he would be given grace by God to help him to understand this passage. God was waiting to see him put forth his own effort, and he honored that effort by sending an angel to the Apostle Philip, who said to him, "Arise and go forth toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So this is a road that was out in the country, and it was the road that leads basically from Jerusalem on the path towards Ethiopia. And we're told that when Philip got there, he saw this Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, and it says, "The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him." The eunuch was not offended by the question. St. John Chrysostom said he did not consider himself disgraced in the way many foolish people react, often preferring to remain in unbroken ignorance through a sense of shame in admitting their ignorance and having to learn from those able to instruct him. So he wasn't prideful. He also was not put off by the inferior rank of the Apostle Philip. You can imagine he was just a simple man dressed in simple attire, and here you have this man with all this wealth and importance, and this person comes and asks him a question like that. And instead of being offended that he would ask a question of such an educated and prominent man, he was humble. And he invited him to come and sit on the chariot with him and to instruct him. And then the Apostle Philip explained the meaning of the passage, which is a whole other story. And before they parted, the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, and he went on to enlighten the Ethiopian people with the light of the gospel. And the Ethiopians remain a Christian people to this day. The Ethiopian eunuch can teach us not to allow any obstacle to stand in our way, but to make use of every opportunity to study Scripture, to earnestly bring everything we have within us to bear upon the study of the text. And if we do that, God will provide us with the wisdom and the guidance to understand it. If a person like him could find time to read the Scripture under such difficult circumstances with all the obstacles that were in his way, what excuse do we have not to read at least a chapter or two of the Scripture each day? It only takes a minute or two to read a chapter of the Scriptures, and if you read it and took some time to ponder its meaning, it might take you a little bit longer than that. But who of us doesn't waste hours every day doing things that are of no profit to us or to anybody else and can say that they have absolutely no time to spend just a little bit of time with the Scriptures? St. John Chrysostom says, "Accordingly, let us not neglect reading. I beseech you. Rather, whether we recognize the efficacy of the contents or unaware of it, let us apply ourselves to it assiduously. Constant attention to, after all, creates an indelible memory. And it often happens that what we could not discover today in our reading, we all of a sudden come across the next day in returning to the task as the loving God in unseen fashion sheds lights on our mind. So as we're told in the wisdom of Sirach, set thy mind upon the ordinances of the Lord and meditate continually in his commandments. He will establish thine heart, and the desire of wisdom shall be given unto thee. Amen.